You get on, there's an addiction going around. It's a media addiction. I heard a preacher preach at camp meeting this week. And he was preaching on addictions. And he talked about that the new addictions that they've come out with now. And he just been mentioned in passing by. And I got to doing some reading and some studying about it. And the addiction of social media. And people today, and it's not just our young people. We talk about our young people, but it's the older generation too. They cannot sit without their telephone. They cannot sit without a device, and they wonder why they're so stupid. I'm just being honest with you. Miss Tina shared with me this week. She said, China owns TikTok, which I knew that. That's why Trump didn't want it, tried to get it banned when he was in office. Because it's TikTok is just a China spy tool. That's all it is. And I don't know why I'm off on this, but that's where we're going this morning anyway. But anyway, the Chinese will not allow their young children to, on their TikTok videos, it is not allowed there to show anything but education and accolades in China on TikTok. But to our younger generation, all they show is pleasure and funny things. And you say, well, what does that mean? It makes them want to live in the world of pleasure and funny things. It makes those other children want to live in accomplishments. But yet here we are, we just continue to let them do it. Continue to feed it to them. And then we wonder why our nation is the way it is. We wonder why our churches is the way it is. We wonder why our families are the way it is. We wonder why we have a generation that don't work. Amen. Why? Because they're a self-seeking, pleasure-driven society. That is where we are today. And I'm afraid that, I hate to admit it, it's bled over into our churches and our Christian homes. I'm not trying to be hard. I'm the pot calling the kettle black, because we got so involved and we're so engulfed about ourselves that we come to church on Sunday mornings now, and it's not to worship the God. It's come and like, okay, Lord, what you got for me today? What am I going to get out of the service today? But we ought to come to the house of God to worship the Lord. Amen. It is worship hour on our sign down there. Now, I understand I'm the preacher preaching to the preacher this morning. All right? But let me ask you this. Did you prepare to come to church this morning? Did you find you a secret place before you come here? And I'm not talking to those. If you're visiting with us this morning, this is not for you. This is for the church. I'm glad you're here, every one of us. But I just got a question. What kind of preparations did you make? Did you come before the Lord this morning and say, Lord, cleanse me, Lord. Help me, Lord, to go to the house of God and worship you this morning. Lord, set my heart and my mind and my affections on you this morning. Or was we just so overwhelmed with all of our own selfish problems? Lord, I need you to do this for me today. I need you to do this. We treat the Lord like He's our maid or He's our butler. Lord, I need this from you today. I need this from you today. I need this from you today. Instead of just coming before the Lord and saying, Lord, I love you because you're God. Amen. Amen. I love you, Lord, because you saved me.
Amen.
I love you, Lord, because you first loved me.
I know
we have burdens and I know we have cares, and we're to cast our cares upon Him because He cared for us. But understand this, if we would cast our cares during the week, we could get what He had for us when we come to Him on Sunday morning. Amen. We could leave encouraged. We could leave strengthened. We could meet with God. We could worship God. Let me ask you this, when you come to church this morning, was it out of having to, or was there an anticipation and excitement about coming? Or is it because of duty? You say, well, I hope the preacher don't call me today because I'm out. Preacher's going to call. He's going to wonder where I'm at. Yeah, I'm going to. It's my job. I'm not mad at you if you don't come. I just want to make sure you're okay. Amen. I'd like to know. I like to know that, hey, when you find your spot and it ain't filled, I wonder, I'm like, if what's going on in their family? Are they okay? They sick today? Or they have an emergency situation? I honestly, I don't never think, well, they're just sorry and laying out of church. I don't never think that. I promise you, I'm always concerned about, man, I wonder, are they okay today? Kind of like a parent when the child's on the road and they ain't made it home by curfew, you know? You're like, are they all right? Are they in a ditch somewhere? They had car trouble? Hey, I care for you. I do. But understand, we come to worship God this morning. And let's read Psalms chapter number 116. Good to see you in the house of God today. Thank the Lord for His privilege. Oh, but going back, then I heard the news of Ryan. He was down, his family this morning, they're mourning the fact that they lost their daddy and their husband. And man, these others in the hospital, he's in the hospital this morning, and he probably wouldn't have been at church, but pray God when he gets out of the hospital, maybe he'll come to church. Amen. But I'm like, Lord, so often we come and we're just like, well, Lord, we're here. But man, thank God I'm able to come to the house of God this morning. Amen. Thank God that He put a desire in my heart to be at the house of God. I don't just come out of obligation. I come out of wanting to. I come to meet with God, and I come to meet with you, and I come to hear what the Word of God has for us. And man, to hear the singing, and man, thank God that He's in our storms, and thank God that He loves us, and thank God that He saved us. And man, but I come this morning to worship Him and lift Him up and praise Him for His goodness and His grace, and let Him know that, hey, Lord, I want to be identified. I mean, I don't want to be one that just, as I said last night, and we was talking in the millennial reign this morning in Sunday school, when the millennial reign comes, and we're not going to fight, we're just going to get to sit on the sidelines and cheer, kind of the way it was down in the stadium last night. Man, all 80 something thousand, ever how many people that holds down there, what is it now, Caleb, you tell, 100, huh? 93,000 people. Man, did you see all them, if you ain't watched any of the ball game on TV, all them 93,000 red shirts, man, in that thing. And all I could think about, man, it sure is, and I was rooting for them too. I watched the ball game. Amen. I don't have a problem with that, but I watched all them red shirts, and man, they shouting. They said it's 127 decibels. Is how loud it was in that stadium last night. That's louder than a jet engine. If you're 50 feet away from a jet engine, it's only 125 decibels. And they said it was 127 decibels in that stadium last night. And I thought, man, they won't be 2 decibels in the house of God this morning. I'm not fussy. I'm just talking about all of us. Amen. I mean, man, they'll shout from the ball games, and then they'll praise the players, and they'll get involved and get excited. Man, you go, most of them, if they made it to the house of God this morning, but then not just them, but the rest of us, we come in and maybe 2 decibels. We got something more to shout about than they did. Amen. We got something more to cheer each other on. Man, y'all fighting the fight. Man, let's cheer each other on. Let's encourage each other. Hey, man, you done good. Let's keep going. That's what we need today. That's what we need today. I love the Lord because He hath heard my voice and my supplications, because He hath inclined His ear unto me. Therefore will I call. I will call upon Him as long as I live. The sorrows of death compassed me, and the pains of hell got hold upon me. I found trouble and sorrow. Then called I upon the name of the Lord. O Lord, I beseech Thee, deliver my soul. Gracious is the Lord and righteous. Yea, our God is merciful. The Lord preserveth the simple. I was brought low, and He helped me. Return unto thy rest, O my soul, for the Lord hath dealt bountifully with me. For thou hast delivered my soul from death, mine eyes from tears, and my feet from falling. I will walk before the Lord in the land of the living. I believe, therefore have I spoken. I was greatly afflicted. I said in my haste, here's your verse, young ladies, all men are liars. Amen. You need to remember that. All men are liars. So when they tell you how much they love you and all they got, they're liars. Amen. All men are liars. What shall I render to the Lord for all His benefits toward me? He says, I'll take the cup of salvation and call upon the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows unto the Lord now in the presence of all His people. You realize that's what we're ought to be doing this morning. I mean, we're in the midst of all of His people. We're not on the outside. We're on the inside. And the psalmist here said, he said, I'll pay my vows before all the people. He said, oh, Lord, when I said I'd praise You, Lord, I'm going to praise You. Lord, when I said I was going to be thankful, Lord, I'm going to be thankful. Lord, when I said, Lord, I was going to lift You up, Lord, I'm going to lift You up. He said, I'm going to pay my vows, Lord, in the presence of all the people. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of His saints. O Lord, truly, I am Thy servant. I am Thy servant and Thy son of Thy handmaid, and Thou hast loosed my bonds. I will offer to Thee the sacrifice of thanksgiving and will call upon the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows unto the Lord now in the presence of all of His people. You know, He's made that statement there twice. In the court of the Lord's house, in the midst of Thee, O Jerusalem, praise ye the Lord. Father, thank You for this day. Thank You, God, for Your goodness and Your grace in our life. Thank You, Father, Lord, for Your precious word. Thank You, God, Lord, You've allowed us to come together this morning. Thank You, Lord, we're not in the hospital, Lord, or down at the funeral home, or Lord, we're not laying in the, Lord, with a hungover, God, this morning somewhere in the ditch, or Lord, wondering how we got there. Thank You, Lord, for Your mercy and Your grace in our life. And God, I pray for those that, Lord, that are found themselves in that situation, Lord, this morning, but God, I'm thankful, God, that I'm not one of them. Lord, if it wasn't for Your grace, I could be. Lord, if it wasn't for Your goodness in my life, I could be. And Lord, I just love You this morning because You're the Lord. And Father, I just want the world to know, Lord, the devil to know, and the church to know this morning that I love the Lord because, Lord, I thank You again for Your love for me. In Jesus' name I humbly pray. Amen. Notice here in this Psalm, Psalms 116, notice the first few words. The psalmist goes on record and he makes this statement. He pens these four words. I love Thee, Lord. There's not a question. Now there's a question about who authored this psalm. It doesn't say a psalm of David or a psalm of Asaph or the psalm of the sons of Korah. All we know is that there was a songwriter who wrote this song. And he made this statement and he said, I love the Lord. Let me ask you a question this morning. Does your life make a statement that you love the Lord? If I treated the Lord or my wife the same way that I treated the Lord, would I still have a marriage? You know, the man said, if you don't know who really loves you, he says, you take your dog, and he says, you lock it up in the trunk of a car, and he says, you take your wife, and you lock her up in the trunk of the car on the other side of the garage, and he says, and about 4 hours later, you open them up, and he says, you see which one really loves you. I wonder sometimes if that's not the way we are with the Lord. Man, we ought to be like that dog, and because of no matter what comes our way, that we love the Lord. The psalmist here, he says, I want to go on record and I want to let the world know that I love the Lord. This world needs to know that God is worth loving this morning. And I love Him today. I love the Lord. I love my wife and I love my church and I love my family and I love my children and I love my parents, but I love the Lord more this morning. And I want the world to know and I want the Lord to know that I love the Lord. But the psalmist was writing this, and I don't really know what he was going through and don't know what he was experiencing, but as we go into this, the month of Thanksgiving, and we ought to be thankful every day, and let's not get so caught up and say, well, I'm not going to thank the Lord no more in the month of November than I did in October. I mean, man, you probably wasn't thankful in October, so at least be thankful in November. Amen. I mean, there's this 30 days of Thanksgiving, and I first thought I was trying to be super spiritual and critical, and I thought, man, we just ought to be thankful every day. But then I got to looking about it, and I thought, man, I'm not thankful every day, so man, let me take these next 30 days and let the Lord know that I love Him and that I'm thankful for Him in my life. Find something to be thankful for every day. But notice here the psalmist read, and he said, I love the Lord. And then notice this next verse, because... I got a question for you this morning. What's your because this morning? What's your because? I love the Lord because all my bills are paid. I love the Lord because my marriage is good. I want the world to know that I love the Lord today because I don't have no problems. You ever notice when everything's going well in our life, we want to praise the Lord and we want the world to know that we love Jesus. But as soon as hardship comes into our life and as soon as things begin to get a little troubled in our seas, we don't let the world know no more that I love the Lord. You know what we go doing? We go questioning the Lord whether or not He loves us. Lord, do you really love me? Lord, do you really love me? He says, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. That's what the Bible says. But when's the last time you went to the Lord in your problems and in your hard time, you said, Lord, I just want you to know this morning. I love you, Lord, because... Let's look at some reasons this morning on why we ought to love the Lord. I love the Lord this morning because my Bible says, and I'm pulling this one out of somewhere else, and I'm going to go back this morning and look at the rest of them in these scriptures. But the first one that I could come up with this morning in my study was this, was I love the Lord because He first loves me. Herein is love, not that we love God, but that God loved us and sent His Son. And man, I love the Lord this morning because He first loved me. When I didn't know what love was and I didn't know nothing about love, the only love that I knew was from my parents. I mean, I was infatuated by a teenage girl, but I didn't know what love was. But man, that day when the Lord, I realized that the Lord loves sinners. And man, I realized that I was one of them sinners that the Lord loved. And I love God because He first loved me. When I was unlovable, when I had nothing to offer God, when I had nothing that I was doing for God, when I was living like the world and living like the devil, I'd go into church on Sunday and living a different life on Monday. And beloved, God loved me. And I love this Lord this morning because He first loved me. Amen. Man, aren't you glad this morning that the Lord loved you? Amen. I mean, when you was unlovable, I mean, some of us like me still unlovable, but man, understand this morning, He said, I mean, man, to think how that God loved you. Man, when you was out there living that wicked life of sin, and when you was out there going the wrong way, and you was blaspheming the name of God, and doing all those ungodly things, I mean, even as a child, whether you was a liar or a thief or whatever it was, you say, well, I wasn't a thief. What if you ever stole from your brother or your sister or your mama or his pocketbook a piece of chewing gum and didn't tell her when she told you you couldn't, or you went and got a cookie jar when she said you couldn't have one? Guess what? You was a thief. And guess what? The Lord loved you. He said, I love you. He said, I passed by you out there in the field over there in the book, was it, of Ezekiel? And he said, you was born and thrown out there. And he said, nobody loved you. He said, I passed by you in the field. He said, you was naked and uncut and unwashed and unclean. He said, your mama had you and just throwed you out there in the field and left you. He said, but when I passed by thee, he said, thy time was a time of love. And he said, I took you up. And he said, I washed you and I cleaned you and I swallowed you. And I just want to go on record this morning and say, I love the Lord because He first loved me. I love the Lord because He heard. Look what He says here in Psalms 116. The rest of them will be here in these verses. He says, I love the Lord because He hath heard my voice. We're preaching through the book of Romans on Wednesday night, and we were there in Romans chapter 10 in verses 13, 14, 15, and 16 in the last 2 weeks. And that verse over there, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Aren't you glad for the day that when you called, the Lord heard? Is that not what He said? He said, I love the Lord because He hath heard my voice. See, the Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Didn't say that, and I know the Bible said that the night, chapter 16, He said, if thou believest, the Philippian jailer said, what must I do to be saved? And Paul said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved and thine house. But beloved, Paul goes on in the book of Romans and says that with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. And then the next verse he says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Didn't say if you signed your name to the card. Didn't say if you made a decision to follow Jesus. You woke up inside, turn over a new leaf. It said, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Aren't you glad for that day you called and He answered? Amen. Me and Caleb was hunting this week, and thank the Lord for the time that we had. And I have the most impatient son that God has ever created. He'd text me and he'd say, Daddy, was that you? Did you shoot? And Daddy. And I didn't have my phone on vibrate. I had made a thing. I'm like, I'm not getting on my phone this week. I'm putting it in my pocket. I did listen to some preaching, but I'm like, I'm not staying on my phone. I'm putting it there. I'm just getting away. And I'd pull my phone out every once in a while, just look, see what time. I'd have 7 messages from Caleb. Answer me! Don't you hate it when you try to call somebody and they don't answer? I get so frustrated on the cell phone. I'm like, I pay the cell phone bill. I don't care if you're talking to the President of the United States. If you're in my house and I call you, you better answer.
Amen. That's right.
Huh? Amen. Now, when you go paying your own phone bill, you can do whatever you want to, or living under somebody else's roof. But as long as you're living under my roof, I don't care if it is the President. The only other person that you have the right to talk to is Jesus, and you're not going to talk to Him on the cell phone. And I really think that He's going to let you have a little bit of grace when your daddy calls. Amen. But thank God when you called on the Lord that day, aren't you glad that He heard you? Aren't you glad when you said, Lord, I need you. Lord, I'm a sinner and I need to get saved. Aren't you glad when you called on the name of the Lord that the Lord heard you? I'm glad I ain't got a hope, a maybe so or a hope so salvation. I'm glad I got a no so salvation. And I'm glad I got a God that when I called, He heard. He heard. But not only, I love the Lord because He heard my voice and my supplication. I love the Lord because He still hears. Look at verse number 2. He says, I love the Lord because He hath inclined His ear unto me, therefore will I call upon Him as long as I live. There's some people in my life, and I picked the phone up the other day. My Uncle Tommy was a great influence in my life, mechanical and work-wise and everything else. And if I had something I couldn't fix, or mechanical-wise equipment, or had something I was doing and I didn't know how to fix it, I'd call him. I was in the shop and working on something the other day, and I didn't know how to fix it. This was a couple of months ago, and I was kind of at a conundrum. I didn't really know what to do, and I picked up the phone. And I hit his number, and he ain't there. And I can't talk to him no more. But I'm glad I can still talk to my father. The Bible says that he still listens. Not because he had heard, but thank God that he still hears. He says he hath inclined his ear unto me. That word is, when you read that in the context and you study that, it doesn't mean that it's a past tense thing that he don't do it no more. It means he hath inclined his ear. It means he's still doing it. I love the Lord because He still hears me. Not because He heard me, but because He still hears me. I love the Lord because I can go to Him in prayer and I can take my wife before the throne, or I can take somebody in the church, or take my own needs or my own desires, and I can go to God in prayer and I know that He hears me. We sing the song. I used to sing it there, and I don't know if it's, I think it's in the church hymnal there, but I know He heard my prayer. Man, I'm glad that I serve a God and I love the Lord this morning because He still hears. The Lord's arm's not shortened that His ear that it cannot save, neither His ear heavy that He cannot hear. That word inclined means to bow down low. One of the little ones come up here and said, he said, he pulled me down there and he said, "Preacher, can I sing?" And I forgot about it. I said, "Yeah, you can sing." See, that's the way the Lord does. He inclines His ear to us. I'm glad the Lord, I love the Lord still hears. I love the Lord not just because He heard, but I'm glad that I love the Lord because He still hears. Not only that, go back to look in Psalms chapter 113, verses 5 and 6. I love the Lord because He humbles Himself. Look in Psalms 113, verse number 4. The Lord is high above all nations, and His glory above the heavens. Who is like unto the Lord our God, who dwelleth on high, who humbleth Himself to behold the things that are in heaven and in the earth? He humbleth Himself. You realize you don't even deserve a thought of God.
Amen.
We're talking about the Creator of the heavens and the earth. The Bible says He sits upon the throne of whose face the heavens and the earth flees away. I mean, He's holding the earth on its 33-degree axis, keeping it rotating.
Right.
And for all these years, 24 hours a day has been 24 hours a day. And then the government got mixed up in it, and now we have daylight savings time and messes everybody up.
Lord.
But God's keeping the sun, the earth rotating around the sun, and keeping the moon and the waters at bay. You know, all that's going on because of Him.
Amen.
But the Bible says there that He's high above all the heavens and the earth, and His glory and His majesty is above all, but yet He humbleth Himself. That means that He brings Himself low. Do you realize that He had to humble Himself to hear you?
Amen.
He had to humble Himself to love you.
Right.
The Bible says this about the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, "Let this mind be in you," which was also Philippians chapter 2, verse 5. "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made Himself of no reputation, and took upon Himself the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men, and being in found fashion as a man, He humbled Himself and became obedient to death, even the death of the cross." The Lord humbles Himself. Why? Why would the God of heaven humble Himself? Why would the God of heaven bring Himself down for you? And the psalmist says, "I love the Lord because He humbles Himself. I love the Lord not just because He hears me. I love the Lord because He doesn't say, 'I don't have time for you. I'm too busy. I'm too great. I'm too mighty. I'm too wonderful. I'm too glorious. I'm not concerned with your problems. I'm not concerned with your situation.' He says, 'I hear you, but yet I humble myself to help you.'" I just want to go on record this morning and say I love the Lord because He humbles Himself.
Amen.
Now sometimes I get high and mighty and lifted up and think that I deserve God to hear me and think I deserve God to answer my prayers and God to fix my problems, and one day I'll be like the rest of you and I won't feel that way. But right now that's the way I am these days like that. But God always humbles Himself to me. God humbles himself, and man, when I don't even deserve the very breath of air that God gives me to breathe, when I don't even deserve the blessings of God in my life, man, the Lord humbles himself and he cares about my knees and he gets down on my level. Amen. That's what Jesus did. He, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon himself the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of man. He came to my level. Why? So he could understand my needs. I thank the Lord because he humbles himself. Not only that, go back to Psalms 116, verse number 6. Or verse number 5. I'm sorry. I love the Lord because of his grace. Look at verse number 5. Gracious is the Lord and righteous. Yea, our God is merciful. Y'all know me. Y'all know I'm a morning person. You know I like the mornings. And man, I love getting up in the mornings. I love watching the sunrise. And man, I seen some beautiful sunrises the past two mornings. Man, the clouds were just, I mean, they were just kind of orange and pink, man, as the sun was coming up down there in South Georgia. And man, it was just beautiful. The birds begin to, I mean, right there at about 30 minutes before daylight, the birds begin to sing and they begin to chirp. And then all of a sudden, you begin to sing, the sun begin to start shining, the light begin to climb above the trees. The sun's not there yet, but then you get to see the oranges, pink hues come across the sky, and then you see the clouds begin to sit in there. And man, I got to thinking about what them birds were singing. And I got to thinking about, man, as them birds was chirping, I felt like they were saying, the Lord's mercies is new every morning. The Lord's mercies are new every morning. The Bible says, I'm therefore the, he said, the Lord's mercies are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. My mind just went blank. He says, it's of the Lord's mercies that were not consumed. His compassions fail not.
Amen.
They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. And I got to thinking about the mercies of God.
Amen.
And I got to thinking about all the times this week when I'd brought a reproach to the name of God. Maybe I hadn't done it in public, but I'd done it in the private eye.
Right.
You say, what do you mean? Well, when all them demons of hell was walking around me and I wasn't living the life that I should have lived in private.
Right.
You know, they go and report to God. You do know that.
Right.
According to Job chapter number 1. The devil goes and tells on you. Accuses you before God. You understand that.
Amen.
But think about this. He don't accuse you of no lies.
That's right.
He don't lie. He just tells the truth.
That's enough.
I was listening to one of them preachers this week, and I'll be back to my message in just a moment. Just let me give you this. I was listening to one of them preachers this week, and he said this. He said, if you don't think that the devil don't know how to get you, he says, if you can go to the internet and Google tracks you and knows what to advertise before you, and Facebook tracks you and knows what to advertise before you and how to get to you, he says, don't think for one minute that the devil's ain't already been playing that game.
That's right. Opportunity.
He said he knows you very well. And he knows what to put before you. He knows what to set up before you to make you fall and to make you stumble, to advertise those things before you.
Right.
But understand this, he accuses us, but thank God for his mercies. You say, well, what's the mercy of God not getting what we deserve? That God didn't send us into hell, that God didn't kill us yesterday, that God this morning didn't wipe us all out.
Amen.
Well, I got to go to church today. Man, I sure wish I could sleep late. I could just rest. But it's Sunday. Man, if I was God and I was... I ain't talking about to y'all, okay? I'm talking about to the preacher.
You can, to be right.
I'd zap you with lightning in the bed before you ever got up.
Amen.
You ain't getting up today, by Ned. Have that bad attitude. But it's of the Lord's mercies. He says, he's just playing a fool. He's all right. He don't know what he's talking about.
He's right.
And then I get up and man, my children walk upstairs and my wife's out of bed and I get to eat and man, I didn't get wet in the house I was in last night when it rained and man, I got to looking around at the grace of God to the things I didn't deserve. God's grace. And I said, well, I'm just going to love the Lord because of His grace, not just because of His mercies, but because of the things He's blessed me with that I don't deserve.
That's right.
Hey, I don't deserve a faithful wife. I don't deserve that. I don't deserve children. I don't deserve to pastor a church. I don't deserve it. I don't deserve salvation.
Right.
I don't deserve it. Because God's grace. And the psalmist said, I love the Lord because He's been gracious to me. He says, I love the Lord because He's been merciful to me. Notice this one. He says, verse number 6. Man, I got to go. Verse number 6. The Lord preserveth the simple. I was brought low and He helped me. And I got one more after this and then I'll be done. He says, I love the Lord because He helped me.
You ever do?
I don't know how the Lord helped him. He just says, I love the Lord because He helped me. Lord helped you this week?
Every day. Yeah. Amen.
He assisted you in any way? Well, you ought to say, Lord, I love you just because You helped me. I helped you. But the psalmist said, I love the Lord because He helped me. I'm thankful for God's help in my life. When I couldn't see a way, He made a way.
Amen.
When I couldn't walk, He carried me. When I couldn't find it, He did. When I couldn't fix it, He did. He helped me.
100% of the time.
He helped me. Just go back over this week and look how the Lord's helped you. The psalmist said, I just want to go on record today and say I love the Lord because He helped me. And then I like this one. And I'm closing with this one. And it's not in this, thing here. No, it is right here. Verse number 8. And you can say verse number 6 too. The Lord preserveth the simple. But in verse number 8, He says, For Thou hast delivered my soul from death, mine eyes from tears, and my feet from falling. I love the Lord because He holds me. Psalms 94:18 said, When I said my foot slippeth, Thy mercy, O Lord, held me up. He said, When I said my foot slippeth, He said, the Lord's mercy reached me and grabbed me and held me up. How many times you slipped up this week?
Amen. Can't count.
But you didn't fall?
Amen.
Did you get that? It wasn't you that's holding you up. It's gone.
Amen.
Wasn't for the grace of God in your life, He could have just let you slip on down and fall on down on your face.
Amen.
But oh no, the Lord holds us up. When my feet slipped, He said, Thy mercy held me up. Peter, 1 Peter chapter number 1 says, who are kept by the power of God and the salvation, waiting to be revealed at the last day. I'm beloved, I'm glad that when I've slipped and when I understand this and I've failed, I hadn't fallen. And it's all because of the Lord.
Amen.
Because He held me up. When I started to go down, He reached and grabbed me. Said, not today.
Amen.
I got you. See, I'm not holding on to Jesus. He's holding on to me.
Thank God.
Well, see, if I was holding on to Him, my hand might get weak. My arms might get weak.
Or I'd let go.
Or I might get distracted. See something better off over there that I might reach for and try to get.
Amen.
that I'm not holding on to Him.
So glad.
He's got a hold of me. I'm kept by the power of God. And thank God
Amen.
That He holds me. And then I want to finish with this one. On that, thank God that He holds me. Not that He holds me and keeps me from falling. But I thank God that He holds me. When I can't hold on to nothing else. When there's nothing else in this world to hold on to. When I've hit rock bottom. My hope is all gone. I'm beginning to question. Lord, is it real? Lord, have you forgot about me?
Amen.
Sometimes it's on a Thursday morning. And
right.
Sometimes it's on a Friday. And sometimes it's in the truck. Sometimes it's in the woods.
Amen.
Sometimes it's under my desk. But I feel Him slip His arm around me. Pulls me into Him. He says, I understand. I got you. He says, I got you.
Thank God.
He says, I'm holding you. I feel like I'm John the Beloved. I feel like I'm John the Beloved. The Bible says that He was the one that was found on Jesus' bosom. John laid his head on the Lord. John was all, I mean, that was what he was known for. Man, that, wouldn't that be something to be known for?
Amen.
To be laying on Jesus' bosom.
A good place to be found.
You know what I mean? He could hear his heartbeat. He could feel the breath of God breathing down the back of his neck. And aren't you glad you serve a God that's so real? That when He holds you, it's almost like you can hear His heartbeat. And you can feel His very breath breathing on the back of your neck. My wife likes to be healed. That's her love language. She likes to be comforted. But these times I like it too. But I'm glad the Lord holds me.
Amen.
I love the Lord because He holds me. Now, let's back this up. Is there anything in these things that I've said that you've done for Him? Not a one. The psalmist just says, Lord, I love the Lord because of you.
Amen.
And I'll be honest with you. Sometimes the Lord just needs us to tell Him that we love Him. George Webster, won't Miss Evelyn come to the piano, wrote the song, and I don't remember how the verses go. I've got the words, but I don't remember how the melody went. But it says, why did He go to Calvary? Why was His life's blood shed for me? Why did He suffer as no man has ever done? There's just one reason. I am the one. And the chorus goes, He loves me. He loves me. Jesus loves me. He loves me. He loves me. Jesus loves me. He loves me just like I am. And the least I can do is love Him back with all that I have. We're standing all over the house.